Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live on the air here to address your question or discuss your real-life issue by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to talk about it with you. Give us a call at 1-800-677-9377. Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. All month long, we've been talking about grace and money, and we've gotten some wonderful questions, and we encourage you to call soon so we can get with you during this broadcast. And we've covered topics like worship and stewardship, and this week we've been doing it on the very practical basis. If you choose to give, how is it that you should give? What kind of attitudes should you be exhibiting? What kind of things should you avoid? And so we've been looking in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, where Paul describes what he calls the grace of giving. And on Monday, we talked about willingness. Tuesday, we talked about expectation. There's two, both for equity or fairness within the body. People are helping each other. And the expectation of absolute honesty and fidelity to make sure that what is given goes to its intended purpose. Yesterday, we talked about giving enthusiastically. This is part of the God-given emotional response to following his way. I mean, you build enthusiasm because you know what you're giving to. But also, the enthusiasm is tempered with planning. You know, don't just get all excited and say, I'm going to give $10, and then months later you go, what was that I was going to give again? You know, there's intent to it. Well, today we want to look at the word cheerful, being a cheerful giver. And this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And many of you, if you've been associated with churches very much, have probably heard that the word cheerful is the fundamental meaning behind that is has become our word hilarious, but that misses the point. This kind of cheerful giving is a happiness or gladness or cheerful state of mind that has to do with following, walking by faith in the Holy Spirit as you learn what it is the Spirit wants you to do, who needs your help, or what organization or what ministry needs your help. And you, then you scratch your head and you say, well, what does that look like? And I think, Bob, you've got the perfect biblical example of what cheerful giving looks like.
Well, I think cheerful giving is really a reflection of God himself. Yeah. I think when we read this verse, we're getting some insight into God's character, and he's a cheerful giver. God so loved the world that he gave of his only begotten son. Jesus so loved us that he gave of himself. And he did so cheerfully because he knew what that would mean for each and every one of us, our very salvation. So when we give cheerfully, I think that's a reflection of God's work in our lives. As human beings, we aren't natural born givers. We hold on tightly to everything that we have as if we owned all of it, but we don't. We're merely stewards. But as the grace of God starts to have its work and its way in our lives, our hands and fingers start to loosen up on the things that we've been holding on to, and then we can become generous. We can give cheerfully and joyfully, knowing that God will use that to benefit others. And that's what it means to be a cheerful giver. And you can't be a cheerful giver if you think you have to.
Yeah.
If somebody is just pounding the pulpit saying you have to give, and if you don't give, you're under a curse and God isn't going to bless you, there's no cheerfulness in that at all. There's only fear. There's only guilt. There's only condemnation. That's all you can get in that way of giving. But the grace of God changes all of that, changes us from the inside so that we can give cheerfully, just as God was a cheerful giver in giving of himself to each and every one of us.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, of course, and we have plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. Want to hear from you, 1-800-677-9377. If you have some monetary question, if you have some question about the combination of grace and money, why, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. Well, Bob and Rich are going to go to Queens, New York, and talk to our friend Gil, who's listening on WMCA. Hi, Gil. Welcome.
Oh, good afternoon. Happy Sheep Day, guys, as usual.
Thank you.
I know that if I'm not careful as a blind person, like if I walk too fast and I don't use my cane properly, I'm liable to, for example, I had the experience where I hit a pole and I was bleeding and stuff like that. And, you know, I got injured because I went too fast. But now that my hearing has gotten worse, I'm more careful if I travel. You know what I'm saying? So in light of that, in John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." And then comparing that with John 6:35, where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And then comparing that with Matthew 4:4, where Jesus says, "Man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." What is the difference between the bread in John 6:35 and Matthew 4:4, where the Lord Jesus says what I mentioned already?
Well, Jesus is claiming in John 6 to be that bread of life, to be the one that satisfies our deepest hungers and quenches our deepest thirsts. He's the one basically saying that he's going to meet those deep spiritual needs. No one else can. And I think that's a significant statement. That's where we find contentment in life. And that's one of the things that we've talked about, Gil, this month on the broadcast is contentment. Where do we find contentment? That's why money is of such prime importance, because we as people think money can buy us contentment, but it can't. And contentment can only be found in Jesus Christ. Now, as far as Matthew 4, of course, that's in the temptations. When Jesus was in the wilderness, hadn't eaten for 40 days. And so, you know, physically he was hungry. And here Satan comes and tries to kind of take advantage of that human weakness, that weak state that Jesus was in. And Jesus says, no, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father's mouth. So Jesus was just saying, it's more important for me right now to submit myself to the will of my Father than it is to try to satisfy this physical hunger that I have. It's more important to let the Word of God be my standard, the Word of God be the very thing that I rely upon as far as my life is concerned, than anything the world may offer.
Yes, that makes sense. You mentioned in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 9:16, that God loves a cheerful giver. Am I right? That's verse 16, right? In light of that, like I mentioned the issue about being blind and running into poles, if we're not in the grace of God, and we give fearfully, not a healthy fear, but an unhealthy fear, we can end up getting ourselves injured pretty bad if we're not walking in the grace of God. Because, you know, as I mentioned last week, the week before, it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. But if we walk without the grace of God, it could mean serious injury. Just like you mentioned about people giving, in a very bad way and getting injured, you know, financially or losing their home.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. They get trapped into believing that if they give, if they sow a seed, that it's going to come back a hundredfold to them financially. And when it doesn't, they get disappointed. They get angry at God. That's where you see a lot of bitterness taking root in people's hearts. I think Gil, a lot of people look at giving almost like they do gambling. You know, I'm going to put my money in a slot machine and hopefully I'm going to get a return on that. And they think I'm going to put my money in the church and hopefully I'm going to get a return on that. Hopefully my ship is going to come in and everything is going to be peachy keen and smooth sailing from this point forward. But that's not a promise of God. He simply says he's going to meet our needs according to his riches. That promise is not dependent upon any act of ours. It's just a promise that he makes to his children. And we can count on that. And as we rest in that promise, we can see this attitude of generosity starting to grow in our hearts and minds. And when we do have money and funds available, we can give generously, and we can give cheerfully, knowing that God is going to use that for his good, for his glory, and for the benefit of those dollars immediately impact.
Well, Gil, it's good to hear from you as always. And
thank you. I just wanted to mention Matthew 6:34, in light of giving and worrying. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, he says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." And I know that when I hit the polls, I feel angry because it hurts.
Certainly.
And, we really need to trust the Lord and cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. In other words, we need to throw our cares or worries upon him, 1 Peter 5:7, before we get to heaven. Praise God.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Gil. Thanks for those thoughts. And you're always a good call, and we appreciate hearing from you. Onward to Plymouth, Connecticut. Talk to Joseph, listening on. I'm assuming he's listening in Plymouth, Connecticut. Hi, Joseph. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi. My name is Joseph. I wanted to ask one question. It seems like throughout my whole lifetime, the most, I don't know if you'd call them spiritual, or, things that occurred in my life that it was unexpected, it was just so supernatural that we basically grew up poor, and we basically didn't have nothing at all. At times it was barely wondering where the next meal was going to come and stuff. But I noticed that way of living made it much more easier to understand that sometimes suffering was good, and that Christ came through. Like when I got out of the military and I was on drugs and alcohol, I prayed for like 6-7 days and ran the blood of Jesus Christ through my system. I said, I don't want to live like this. Next thing you know is I found $10,000 seven days later. I didn't ask for no money or anything like that. I just asked for help to change my life. And other incidences, it almost got to the point where I started to get scared of I didn't realize he was that supernatural.
Well, Joseph, that's just what we talked about. He promised to meet our needs according to his riches and glory. I know when I first got into ministry, Joseph, I raised my funds to be able to be involved in ministry. So I relied on people that were interested in me and wanted to help me along in what I was doing. And you know, when you're in that situation, you think, well, I know these people really well, and I'm just sure, I'm just 100% positive they're going to be the ones that will step up to the plate and help out and will support. And what I found out is that that was never the case. There were always these surprises. There were always these gifts that just kind of came out of the blue from people that I hadn't contacted, but somehow they heard what was going on and said, hey, I want to support that. I want to be involved. I want to get behind this particular person. And that's how God works. He surprises us time and time and time again. That's why Christianity to me is so exciting and so adventuresome. Because
I can't wait to see the next supernatural thing. Like I pray all the time. One of my friends just started with me with doing the rosaries. And, I went to confession, and then I went to church. I started a new job working with, like, hospice residents, and everything, almost like, it's not like a voice in my head or anything like that, but he just keeps telling me the next, he keeps telling me, okay, do this, do that. And I was just like, but it feels like me doing it, but it's him directing me.
Well, that's how you live, Joseph. That's called a life of faith. And God's Spirit, I know you're a believer, that you've confessed Jesus with your mouth. You've believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And because of that, God sent his Spirit to live inside of you. And God's Spirit is alive and well. And he will impress
on
your
heart.
I
love Jesus for what he did for my life.
Yeah. So
I love
you're...
what he does. And when I look out and I see other people, I remembered when I was on the drugs and the alcohol, in the midst of it, I remembered what it was like to have no belief whatsoever and to be out of control and not having any direction in life as a purpose for life. And I remembered that horrendous. I said, I don't think I can get much closer to knowing what it was to feel like with the absence of God in my life. I feel so not sorry. I feel very compelled to help, whether it's an alcoholic or a drug addict. I feel very compelled when I see these people. I realize sometimes I say, Lord, I know I'm not you. You know, I realize in my heart and my soul, I said, and I ask the Holy Spirit. I says, if you could come out of me and just go into them and help them with a direction, I can feel them go through my arms to go into the other people. And I don't know what, I just leave it from there. I said, it's your choice. I don't control any of this, but this is, whatever it is, it's very good, Lord Jesus. And I guess you want us to follow in that path.
Well, you've received comfort from the Lord, and now he's using you to comfort others. That's what this Christian life is all about, Joseph. And we're certainly excited for you, excited for the fact that God is using you in such a significant way. And you have empathy for the alcoholic, for the drug addict. You've been there. You've done that. You know what it feels like. You know the trigger points. You know the temptations. You know the depths of that. And God has rescued you, has pulled you out of that, and has given you a sense of this newness of life that you're living today. And I guarantee you there's going to be opportunities galore for you to reach out to those who are today where you once were, and you'll be able to point them to Christ in such a wonderful way. And so God bless you for doing that, for making yourself available to the living Christ to use you. And we'll just rejoice with you as he continues to do so.
Well, thanks for your call, Joseph. Great to hear from you. Hope you keep listening and call again. Plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock. Want to hear from you. And, guys, we need to talk about this incredible matching gift challenge that our board of directors has put in place to literally double the gift of anyone who gives a gift between now and the 31st, which is coming up pretty fast, as a matter of fact.
Yes, it is. It's coming up just in a couple of days, and the matching gift challenge is for $25,000. So these folks on our board of directors put up $25,000 and will match any gift that comes in between now and March 31st, dollar for dollar, up to $25,000. I think as of today, we're at about the $18,000 mark in that challenge. So we have about $7,000 to go. And so we're encouraging our listeners to step up to the plate and make a gift today. We have a icon right on our homepage. You just click that. It says matching gift. Follow all the instructions right there and give as generously and as cheerfully as you possibly can. $50, $100, $500 will go a long way. And whatever you give, you're going to be doubling the impact of that gift as a result of this matching gift challenge. So let's get this thing finished. Let's get this thing matched by Monday, March 31st. This is a wonderful opportunity. And friends, the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to be supported. And what we're asking you to do is to invest in the power of the gospel to change people's lives. We're not asking you to give us money so that we can do with it what we want to do. We're asking you to invest in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That is the message that people need to hear. And this matching gift opportunity gives you the opportunity to double your impact of investment into the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that message that saves.
Absolutely. And you can make your gift either of two good ways. You can speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828, up to 6 o'clock Central Time today. Or you can go online, as Bob suggested, to basicgospel.net. There you'll find a prominent link right on the homepage, the Matching Gift Challenge. And we hope that you'll take advantage of the opportunity to double the impact of your gift through Basic Gospel. Well, guys, a question from Cherie, who writes to us from Monroe, Michigan. She says, what if a person who claims to be a believer starts to find themselves having trouble believing everything in the Bible? It seems to me that more and more info is coming out that some of the world's religions have the exact same info minus Jesus, but the very same basic aspects. How can I get someone to see that Jesus is the only way and they should not veer off course?
Well, it's interesting. If they don't have Jesus, then they don't have the same yeah. intro info, because the Bible really is God's testimony concerning Jesus. Most religions, they are variations of some of the things that we find in the Word of God. But the fact that they are missing Jesus, that they don't point people to the person and work of Jesus Christ, makes it void of any real substance, of any real truth. Why? Because Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. Apart from him, there's really nothing, only a fairy tale there. I know, Richard, there's lots of folks that talk about, Easter and kind of the resurrection story. And, when they talk about those things that come from other places, they're just stories. They're just make-believe stories. They're not cast in truth, are they?
No, not at all. And it's interesting you bring that up, because I was talking with a friend of mine today by email just about this issue. What is it about these holidays that doesn't ring true for him? And so I had a chance to talk to him about this. I mean, all of this stuff that comes either out of paganism or out of just historically worshiping, mythologizing some person because they happen to be a good person and may have been martyred, it just leaves you empty. And when we try, especially in religion, we try to take something worldly or pagan and mix it with the story of Jesus in order to make that pagan worldly stuff more reasonable, it actually makes that less reasonable and destroys the story of Jesus. But when you have Jesus, when you focus on Jesus, then you've got something to talk about. And that's the foundation, the basis for belief, is who Jesus is and what he's done. And then when you look at some of these other stories, you go, wow, maybe God was actually revealing himself to other people in other ways that I don't know about, but I can still take them Jesus because they'll be ready for him now. And,
yes,
and it changes everything again. Everything that we are, everything that we have is based on Jesus Christ, no one else.
Yeah, that brings me to a programming note for next month. We're going to be talking about the evidence for the resurrection. And on next Wednesday's broadcast, April 2nd, our special guest will be Lee Strobel to talk about his investigation of the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're really looking forward to that.
That'll be good.
Absolutely. Well, again, as we close the broadcast, I want to remind everybody of our excellent conference coming up, Stand 2014. Be sure to check our website for information on it, stand2014.com, coming up June 19th through the 21st. All information available again at stand2014.com. And Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, John Lynch, going to be a great conference, going to have some great teaching through this conference. We hope that many of you who live out of town can go ahead and make your vacation plans now and be a part of that. Again, it's coming up June 19th through the 21st right here in the Dallas area. All information at stand2014.com. And as we mentioned, every day on the broadcast, we have that exciting matching gift challenge between now and the 31st, where you can double the reach of your ministry by joining with us. Your gift of any amount is double, so it's a perfect time to offer your most generous gift, whatever that might be, to truly make it count to connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. Call 1-800-727-2828 today up to 6 o'clock Central Time, 1-800-727-2828, or link online at basicgospel.net. Don't forget also, those of you living outside the U.S., we accept donations through PayPal as well. Well, now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you again tomorrow at the same time.